on Half Time, Mark Robinson. For the Railway Club Hotel, Port Melbourne, Melbourne's best steak venue.
Always good to catch up with Robbo on a Monday afternoon. I wake up with his tackle right in my face every Monday. Superfooty.com.au. I can't get enough of Robbo's tackle on a Monday morning. Hello, mate.
Hello, Daniel. Just call it up on the mobile phone device.
You know that photo you sent me a couple of years ago? When the alarm rings, that's
what it comes up. The tackle on Monday morning.
What's going on, mate?
Oh, not much and a lot.
Not much and a lot. It's probably a pretty good summation of the situation at the moment, to be fair.
An interesting time around 19. Monday mornings is a fair bit on Monday mornings anyway, but no names, but, you know, calls from coaches today.
Calls from coaches? A
couple of club CEOs.
Really, on a Monday morning? Is that a normal Monday morning?
Not necessarily, but people just want to voice their opinion. That's fine. It's good. A lot of it's constructive.
Yep.
Yeah, it was good.
Well, they weren't saying, surely you weren't getting Luke Beveridge saying, can you please stop writing nice things about us and our possibilities for finals?
No, after I wrote that yesterday, I was doing some reading and Luke Beveridge wanted to put a lid on it. And I thought, oh, it's not going to help the cause. But that's okay. You play good football, Daniel. You play good football and be ranked where they are in all these important categories, namely fourth on the ladder. You're going to have this kind of
You're going to get press when you're fourth on the ladder. You're top four.
You're top four after round 19. That's a terrific performance.
You are top four. You're not going anywhere.
And there's a lot of good vibe around about them. I listened to a bit of radio this morning. A bit of Kevin, a bit of Plough, and there's a lot of good vibe. They play, Daniel.
Mark.
A pretty good brand of football.
They play a very good brand of football. Very good brand of football.
Yeah.
It's good. It's competitive. It's hard around the contest. It's flowing when they get it. And they defend pretty well as well.
They defend really well.
Yeah. So it's really a very solid three-phase football plan at the moment, and they're executing it beautifully. Question will be, of course, as you say in the tackle today, experience and finals exposure. What will that mean for them through September?
Yeah, but I think that's a concern for every coach of any team at any level.
Yeah.
You've got so many things going for you. You know, what do we do well? Well, we move the ball pretty well. Yeah, we do. We've got a really good array of goal kickers. Yep. Our forward press is just immense. Yep. But what's it going to be like when we run out there in that first weekend of football? First weekend of finals. What is going to happen? Are the bodies big enough? Can they sustain a 25-week season? It's a big ask on young bodies. But they're tracking well, so we'll see what happens.
Jake Stringer's kicked 40 goals, did you know?
Jake Stringer's the star.
He's kicked 40 goals.
He's better than a star.
Torrey Dixon's kicked 37.
Yeah. Yeah. Jack Redpath in his 10th game on the weekend kicked, four?
Yep.
They didn't have a tall forward 12 months ago. Now they've got Boyd and Redpath. Now, they're only kids. They're only pups. But what you see in them is effort. And they can mark the ball. Tom's struggling a little bit with the marking the ball. But
they kicked three or four in the Magoos in the Magoos weekend, so that's good news for him.
No, they're a good side. They're a good team. They're a good story. They're a really good story.
They are.
Now, Peter Gordon wants to smack everyone. There's no doubt about that.
About what?
Oh, about
the
commentary
people?
Around last year's postseason.
What was it, debacle?
Yeah.
You can't not get smacked for last season's postseason.
Yeah.
If you're the Western Bulldogs. I'm sorry, Pete, if you're listening.
But he's sucking it in.
It was a debacle.
He's sucking it in and swelling his chest, and so he should.
Absolutely. No one was saying it was certainly by design by the Bulldogs. Or it was going to be part of the plan. No one could have seen that coming. So it was a debacle.
Yes, it was.
So what it just means what they've been able to do has made it all the more impressive, and he should be celebrating that rather than worrying about last season.
No, he is.
Look through
he
the
is.
Front windscreen, not the rearview mirror.
Don't, hey, it's a good line, that, in all footy. Right.
Front windscreen.
A really good line. What did you think when you picked up the paper today? The Herald Sun.
Well, I'll tell you what I did think immediately. I thought that there is no way in hell I'm reading 1,294 pages of secrets. That's what I thought, Robbo, straight away.
It's not so much secrets. It's 1,294 pages of secrets. Secrets.
That's what it says, mate. They're really big
of
letters.
Legal speak.
Of legal jargon. So I'm not
going to. It's hard going. It's heavy going.
That, but the synopsis is okay by me. I'm happy to run with that. and read through all that type of action. What did we learn, Robbo, with this that we weren't really aware of? What I didn't know, there you go. We'll get to the footy stuff, but this is certainly big news. What I didn't know was that whilst at the Gold Coast, Dean Robinson told an AFL player to lie about why he needed syringes.
No, I didn't know that.
And inject him with CJC 1295.
Well, it's interesting why they didn't know that bit. I didn't know why they didn't name the player. The player's been named many times. Mm-hmm. So our lawyers have obviously said, take that out. But
well, happy to name Campbell Brown and Josh Fraser, who declined the opportunity.
Yes, it's just, yes, it's funny. I mean, what makes it really, really interesting is that Dean Robinson walked away with $1 million. $1 million.
Who paid him that?
Well, Essendon. Essendon.
Right.
But the AFL told Essendon to stand Dean Robinson down.
Right.
Ian Robson from AFL headquarters on February 5th, 2013, rang Danny Corcoran at the football club and said, call Dean Robinson in, call in a witness, stand Dean Robinson down. Dean Robinson does a big interview with Channel 7. Dean Robinson sues the club.
Say that again.
Dean Robinson does a big interview with Channel 7.
Say that again.
And walks away with $1 million.
Yep.
And not charged. And we have an AFL tribunal, Daniel, with evidence, with claims, with commentary that Dean Robinson
testimony
helped supply banned drugs and said lied about injections. But Dean Robinson's fine. Nothing to see here. Move on. It's a joke, Daniel. Right. Okay. If we're gonna.
Well, if we're happy on that part of the story, then I think we're getting a little bit sidetracked.
Sorry.
But we're getting a bit sidetracked from the crux of all of this.
Oh, the crux of the whole lot of it, it was a mess. It was a mess out there.
It was like concrete going into your ass.
And next,
one of the comments. Now, I've had some stuff. The cortisone, something really hard to get into you, wherever it's going. Is it cortisone? No, it must be cortisone. I don't know. Something which is quite legal, by the way.
Yeah.
Anti-inflammatory, I think it is. That was like concrete going into your backside or your arm or your leg, wherever it was. So I get that feeling. When I saw that quote.
You've had concrete in your bum.
I've had concrete bum. It's actually still there. As you can probably tell.
Yeah. Put too much in there. Late in your career.
I'll top it up three
really
times.
Really slowed you down late in your career. I'll tell you what I would be aware of, and this is, I don't know if it's a conflict or not, because my newspaper has published it. Next time the AFL says to a playing group, trust us, The privacy will not be an issue. It won't be an issue. I wouldn't believe that.
In terms of this getting out, this 12-month
the whole thing's been a sieve.
Well, it's been a sieve. The footy world's been a sieve on this in the last 3 years. Whichever way.
And guess who keeps getting hurt? Guess who keeps getting affected?
Well, the players are the ones that cop the brunt.
Yeah, the players.
Absolutely, they do. This is why I've had enormous empathy for them from day one. But it's not as
I think Essendon will put out a statement this afternoon. I'm not sure. They're not happy.
Of course they're not happy.
No, they're not happy at all. I wonder if they wonder if the AFL has done enough to protect the players.
Yeah, well, unless you're on the inside of how this all operates, it's probably hard to discuss that. You probably are better than me. But, I mean, they've been named by the Herald Sun. And once the genie's out of the bottle, you can't put them.
No, you can't do much about it.
And since that point in time, the focus has been solely on those players. And then, of course, they come out after the anti-doping violation panel comes out and said not guilty. And, of course, you've got all the players in the background.
Yep.
As Job's having his presser, so it's not as if keeping it secret after that, even though they didn't want to be named in the first place. And then, of course, the appeal comes and we all go bunker down again.
Mm.
And we see the results on the field for the poor old Bombers, who are languishing in 15th position.
It really
got no spirit at all. They are broken men.
Yes, there's no doubt about that. They've got players who probably aren't up to AFL standard playing as well. So they've got their own issues, and they've got probably basic skill issues because they're not probably good enough to play at that level. You've got Mark Thompson and James Hurd. I would say that's a feud that is simmering.
I'm glad you brought that up, and we will move on to games after the break, but I want to talk about this because from what I read Mark Thompson say, there wasn't anything that I hadn't thought myself. So why were the Essendon people, as James Heard said, and to use one of your famous quotes, flabbergasted by what Bomber said regards to Essendon's situation. I mean, I've certainly thought that. I think most people who have watched Essendon play in the last 10 weeks have thought that. Why would they be flabbergasted by that, do you think? Or is that just a personal agenda?
It's only opinion. This is only opinion. Yeah. I wouldn't know why Heard was flabbergasted. I would think that Essendon believes that Mark Thompson's distancing himself from this whole affair, when in fact it was Mark Thompson who brought Dean Robinson to the club and Dank. You know.
So wiping his hands.
I've asked Mark Thompson that. I said, "Hang on, you seem to be taking no responsibility." So I'm not talking out of school. That I've asked him that on 360. I said, "You've got to accept some responsibility." He had a first year coach or a second year coach at the time, and not much went at that football club without you knowing. I mean, you were brought in as the Bomber was brought in as the master coach and the master runner of the club.
Yep.
You know, the organiser, this is how we want to set up. This is how I think the premiership model of football clubs are set up. And I would think that Essendon thinks that Mark Thompson's throwing rocks from outside when in fact he was heavily inside.
Is that stemming from feeling aggrieved perhaps that he was given the position and taken back very quickly on Best of Fairest Night 2013?
I don't know the reason. That could be one of them. There's no doubt he doesn't like Paul Little. There's no doubt he doesn't like Xavier Campbell. I don't think he got on that well with Neil Craig. There's three pretty important. There's the CEO, the president, and the head of football.
But you would be rightly aggrieved if you were given the senior coaching position and to be told 2 hours later on.
Denied that.
But this is the story. This is Bomber's story that we've learned.
Bomber was only in trouble. Bomber was asked if
you wrote the story.
If I did.
I remember reading it.
I'm just trying to remember what was off the record and what was on the record, Daniel. There's so much information around this whole thing that started 3 years ago that you actually forget what can't be printed and what can be printed.
Yeah, I'm sure that's right.
And so what I'm trying to recall was what was written in the newspaper. I've given you my thoughts. Bomber and those three gentlemen aren't close.
Right. Well, I'm not surprised by that, considering the circumstances surrounding their relationship.
Bomber's throwing rocks. And Heard made his displeasure known.
Would have been nice if he had to use flabbergasted just as a tribute to you, Robert.
I don't know why they didn't invent the word with flabbergasted and not with the B and not the G. It's a waste of a word.
I think the B version is so much sexier.
Yeah, absolutely. Say it again.
I'm flabbergasted by that. Robbo, we had some terrific footy on the weekend.
Oh, we did. We did. We had some interesting footy on the weekend.
We had a cracking game on a two-game Saturday night, which was still in the headlines through the week. We had the Joel Selwood 200, Adam Good's return game at Simmons Stadium. And we had Hawthorn on West Coast at Domain Stadium.
I drove from Bendigo to Geelong on Saturday afternoon.
Yep.
So listen to Dogs and then watch a little bit of the Dogs later. Went to watch the Swans and Cats. It was an interesting night. And I'm so happy nothing happened. I cannot begin to tell you how happy I was.
Were you fearful that it
would? Very.
Were you really?
Yeah, very.
I was really confident.
Yeah.
Really confident.
I said a couple of times I don't have the same faith in humanity as others do. All you have to do is pick up the papers every day and watch the nightly news to see how many rat bags are out there.
Well, no, you don't read the front of the paper. That's just the back of the back. There's no point reading that. It's only bad news.
Yeah, and so, but I was really rapt. And well done to Geelong Footy Club and the Geelong people. It was really good. There was a bit of angst, but you know, that was the dickhead element. But it was great. The game itself, Joel Selwood. He's come back from his chicken arm. I don't think Joel's had a really good year.
In terms of
performance? Yeah, performance. I don't think he's had a great year. Far from it, mate.
He's not sort of as he was last year,
certainly. No. I reckon this has been his worst year for 5-6 years.
Right,
In performance. He's performing His performances since he went out with the chicken wing have been exemplary.
He's a bit stiff in the chicken wing too, just quietly.
Well, you know someone at the MVP. What do you say something? He was great. He was just fantastic. I mean, I often, you know, have a few beers and have these really, really important life discussions about, I mean, deadly serious. Were you? Who would you have, Joel Selwood or Luke Hodge?
Yeah, deadly serious. Real life discussions.
No, this is real life, yeah. You know, dead or alive, gun to the head, who do you have? And yes. And I, you know, I admire them both, but Selwood on Saturday night was just fantastic. On such a big performance for his footy club, for himself, for his family, the events of goods. It was more than just a normal game, and he just, I use this word a lot, he just willed himself like he's done so many times. He is a sensational footballer.
His ability to make things happen when it needs to is uncanny.
Yep.
That's one thing I love about Joel Selwood. Yes, he can do all the hard things. He's a good finisher as well. He's got really polished offensive skills. He's a really good defender as well. But his ability to make a moment happen when they need it throughout his entire
career. Now, why
is
that? What does that come down to, Daniel, as a footballer? Let me ask you. Is that, that's training? Is that training? Or are you born with this ability?
Yeah, well, it's training because you've got to have confidence in yourself to know that you can perform any situation. But it's an awareness of the situation, I reckon. Great players understand the situation. And not all of them can impact it all the time.
Yep.
But he does it more than most. And his ability to make something good happen, be it a
whole lot of things.
Smack through a contest and just surge the ball forward to a teammate running on.
Yep.
To a brilliant break tackle and the kick a goal, that type of stuff, or a defensive effort.
He makes a lot of right decisions at the right time.
He gets the situation. He sums it up and he goes, righto, something's got to do here, and you know what? I can do it. And he does it.
Oh,
he's fantastic.
He's just what a player.
Good performance by Geelong. Not so great from Sydney, though, in the end.
Nah, poor. And not for the first time this year.
One goal in the second half.
Yeah. I mean, that's the result. That's the result on the scoreboard. The practicality is, not for the first time this year, Jared McVay, Kieran Jack, Daniel Hannabury. Who else? Did I say Jared McVay?
You said Jared McVay?
Yeah, I named the four of them.
You did? Parker?
Parker.
Hannabury, Parker, McVay and Jack, you've named in the tackle today.
Yeah, they've gone missing, mate. They've gone missing as a group. They really have. Now, Hannabury's had a really good year, so it might be a little bit unfair.
He's had a great year.
Yeah, really good. And Josh Kennedy's a really good player. But they didn't stand up again, Daniel, on Saturday night. They don't stand up collectively. Mm. You know, they were beaten up by Joel Selwood and co. And they've got not a bad midfield, the Cats. But it shouldn't be anything on the Swans. They were beaten up at a country ground under lights on a Saturday night, 25,000 people, and the going got tough. Mm. And the Swans disappeared.
Which is very, of recent times, what we know of Sydney is very un-Sydney-like.
But it's becoming Sydney-like.
Well, this season, I think you're right.
Last six, seven games.
Yeah, this season, I think you're right. It's tending that way, which is a concern for John Longmire. I think there's some feedback. I think Gary Lyon today on the AFL website saying they're just about done, Sydney. They're just about done. They can't.
What did I say? I can't remember. They're cooked. They're done.
They're shot. There you go.
They're shot.
Competitive in the first half, 1-4 after half-time.
Gary
copying. The good news is...
Gary reading the tackle.
Gary's reading the tackle. He always does.
Copying.
He loves the show as well. The good news is Isaac Heaney's reputation's well-earned, you say to me.
Oh, no. Isaac Heaney's going to be something else. And Lewis Jetta, they would have lost by 70 points if Lewis Jetta didn't play on the weekend.
Yeah.
He was the only one who gave him a bit of difference. It's like trench footy, but there was no outcome for him. And then when the trench footy stuff sort of... When they lay down their guns, Daniel... In the trenches, they didn't give a yelp.
And still, they just sit percentage points outside of the top four at the moment.
False dawn.
So that's fourth spot. It's very much up for grabs.
Yes, it is.
Bulldogs, Sydney, Richmond, and North Melbourne.
And then when I got home from the game at Geelong, as you do, you sit down and watch the other game. What was your favourite moment over the weekend, Daniel?
My favourite moment?
Well, the favourite player.
Luke Bruce, for me.
Oh, he kicks some really, really beautiful goals.
He does really good things when he needs to.
You were just about to say when we. That's okay. You played there.
He didn't touch the ball the week before.
He didn't touch the ball against the Tigers.
I like Luke Bruce.
He is so balanced. When he runs and he gets the ball and he has to sort of run around, he uses the angles really well. He's got great speed and he's got the awareness of knowing that people are coming, but if he just puts the afterburners on, he can cut that angle out and get around them.
Yeah.
So he does that really, really well. And at the same time, Daniel, he's able to keep such balance that enables him, so when he does his dribble kicks or around the corner kicks, he's always got the right weight ratio. I'm sounding like Doom here, but he does. He's always got the perfect
balance
for him to be able to kick that ball. He's an extraordinary mid-sized forward.
Yep. He's a beauty. His fend-off is just as good as Dusty's too, for mine.
Yeah, he is. That's true.
He's don't argue. He's very good. Very, very good.
I'm telling you.
It's a good game. I saw a few of those boys today.
The Hawks boys.
Floating around. And asked them about the game on the weekend. Said, it was tough. Tough conditions.
Yeah, it was.
And they're good.
I was happy to be watching on the game.
Good.
What did they say about them that they were good at?
No, I didn't go too deep, but just because it didn't seem for long. I said, what do you reckon about West Coast? And they're bloody good, mate. They play a really good brand. They're hard and they defend.
Yeah, they defend well. That's one thing that Adam Simpson's... just back on Luke Bruce.
Yep.
It was one of my tackle likes today.
Was
Sean Higgins. Sean Higgins.
Oh, yes.
I can't remember an All-Australian selection quandary in the forward line like they're going to have this year. Because what they usually do, these All-Australian selectors, and I'll call them cowards. Now, what they do is they put...
Can't call them cowards. Yeah, they put... 1,000 blokes.
No, they put the best midfielders on half-forward flanks.
Well, the modern game, the midfielders are...
But what's happening now, what we're seeing return to is a couple of the high half-forward line. I mean, the guys who can go up and come back and kick goals.
Yeah.
You got Cyril having his best year at AFL footy. Having Chad Wingard, who's having a better year than last year, was All-Australian.
Excuse me. We call him the Chad here.
Sorry.
There's no Wingard required.
But I'm not a radio person who says... He goes on stuff like, he's my boy, I saw him first.
My man.
My man is also. Every radio commentator's like
men.
It. Oh, my man. I like it. You guys are the first person to ever recognise that this person can play footy.
And it's about time you acknowledge that too, thank you.
Oh, it's crap.
Thank you. You're my man too, Robert.
Do you know that most people who follow their teams
know more
about their players and when their players step up to really, really good football? Supporters of those teams are quick to know that than, I would say, a lot of media commentators.
Not here on half time.
Unless you watch a lot of games of football.
We're the best at that.
I'm telling you, Daniel.
My man.
You're annoying me now. I've never said that. I've never said that before. Go work at Triple M.
My men. Brewster, Dalhouse, Higgins, Lacroix.
I'll go through them. Dalhouse.
You're Cripps.
Unbelievable season, Luke Dalhouse. Cripps, I don't think
Cripps
will make
not
it.
Playing half forward.
No, I put him in. But it's not. It's those two positions. You've got your key forward, you've got your second key forward.
Yep.
Now, you either go with Jack Rewald, who's had a really, really good year as a roving third.
Yep.
And go three mid. I'm probably leaning towards getting Jack in, to be honest.
Righto.
So, you've got three smalls to mid to make up the other grouping. You've got Chad, you got Wingard, you've got Rioli.
The Chad.
Sean Higgins has had a really, really, really good year.
Betts
has kicked. You keep talking.
Betts has
kicked 44 goals.
Correct.
You know, so Luke Bruce has kicked 42. Chad's kicked 44. Jake Stringer's kicked 40. I mean, is Jake Stringer
now pushed? He's in the mix, mate. He's got to be in the mix.
Of course he's in the mix. Jack Rewald's kicked 44. I just think that forward group setup this year in the All-Australian is the most difficult selection quandary for the selectors for quite some years.
Yeah, probably. We'll see how they go. Those learned gentlemen, as you called them before.
I called them cowards.
Learned
sometimes.
Gentlemen. Russell's in Going Bray. G'day, Russ.
G'day, Half, and g'day, Robbo. How are you?
Good.
G'day, Russell.
I went to the football for about the first time in about 2 or 3 years yesterday to Melbourne and North. And if Jesse Hogan doesn't win the NAB Rising Star... And I know Patrick Cripps has had a good year, but this kid, he is unbelievable. He makes people go to the footy. I'd go back and watch Melbourne again because he straightens them up. He can kick. He can mark. He's got a bit of nous about him, and he's got a bit of a swagger about him. And I reckon Robbo knows something about maybe Patrick Dangerfield is coming to Melbourne next year. Do you know about that?
Oh, it's just a rumour that won't go away. and I'll let it go away when Patrick decides where he's going. That's all.
To that young boy, Hogan.
Oh, no, you're right.
I thought you spoke exceptionally well then about Jesse Hogan.
Yep.
And why he's the player that he is. And we all look at him and go, wow, he's exciting. And he's swagger. I like forwards who got swagger, Daniel.
Yeah.
I like him a lot.
He has a personality.
He threatened to beat North Melbourne yesterday, Jesse Hogan.
Yeah.
You know, like the women's on the ball goes down, it's like, oh, what's going to happen? You know, you get it down quick. It's amazing. He's one out. Go short, wide, the coast. Don't get a lot of opportunity. Life's not easy. And says, oh, yeah, no worries. Just get it down the field quick enough. Yeah, we'll let you do that all the time. But when he goes through the ball, it is really, really exciting.
He's a beauty. He will win the Rising Star, I have no doubt.
The Cronulla will be a buck five.
Correct. Yeah, it's a two-horse race. But I think he wins. You're right, Russ. He gets people to the footy. He gets people talking about good things at the footy, the way he plays.
Russ gets a prize.
Russ is getting the Elmore Oil Pack.
You know why?
2 months supply of license.
He got everyone excited then.
Broad Spectrum Probiotics. He gets all our callers today that are rewarded with prizes get the 2 bottles of Cocoa Hydrate as well and the 2 beautiful Bataki hams. So, Russ, that's a bonanza for you for getting involved. Thank you for that. Tim's in Beulah. G'day, Tim.
Hello, Huff. How are you?
Good, buddy.
It's good. Just watching Saturday night, how much a difference would have Nick Nat made on Saturday night, mate?
Well, he certainly would have made a difference. Not overly great conditions for a big man to be dominating outside of the ruck contest, but he would have been certainly a factor, you would think, wouldn't he?
Yeah, well, I only noticed he wasn't there when I looked at my Supercoach team.
Didn't notice him when you were watching the game?
Do you think that's quite the
No, I looked and I thought he's not there, and I looked at my Supercoach and I'm gone, and I looked at the teams and he was an out on Thursday night. I didn't even see it.
Yeah, he's a very, very sad situation. His mother passed last week. In Fiji, so he's in Fiji, and he may not be back for this week. And you know what? Who cares?
No one cares.
At the moment, who cares for Nick Nat? He's going through a very rough time. I couldn't imagine how bad that would be. So, we wish him the best and his family the best. That's very, very sad.
Did you watch any of Carlton and Collingwood?
Yes,
you did.
No, just highlights. I didn't watch the highlights live. I watched the highlights on Fox Footy.
D Swan,
3 votes.
D Swan, 3 votes.
41-3, was it, for D?
41-3.
41-3.
And a couple of blunders, but his ability to get the ball and his running. There was his running. It's funny, Daniel. I wish clubs would absolutely tell us all the time what percentage of fitness their player is. Because last year, Swanee got criticised.
Yep.
A lot.
Yep.
He's lost his zip. Then we find out about round 13 off the top of my head, if I can remember rightly. Dane's carrying an ankle and knee. He's got a bad wrist, bad elbow, and bad shoulder. Okay, why didn't you tell us that? And so what happens to these great players, and even young players, any players, they get judged on what we can see.
Yep.
And there's this great protection of, we can't let anyone out that he's crook. Oh, no worries, but you allow 500,000 people in Australia be critical of that person. So it doesn't sit comfortably with me. So anyway, Swanee, he's running the best he's run. Well, since when? How long has he been not running well? Because on the weekend, it was Swan.
Power running.
It was power running. But what he also does, because he's not a great kicker, Swanee. He gets from A to B. He doesn't get there in first class.
He's not Darren Jarman.
No.
He's not Darren Jarman, but he's a very...
He's not Jack Daniels. He's not Jack Daniels either.
No, he's...
He's somewhere between Jack Daniels and Darren Jarman.
He's much closer to Darren than Jack.
Yeah, he does get it from A to B, but it does helicopter a little bit. But what stands out for me when Swanee's playing well is he seems to be thinking better than everyone else on the ground.
Thinking better.
Like, he gets to the ball, he's moving well.
Yeah.
But he gets to the right spaces.
Oh, he's a smart player.
So he knows where the ball's going, so he can get there. And if he doesn't get there, he gets to where the ball is going the next.
You get the next one, yeah.
Get the next link. And, you know, that's really difficult sometimes for players. They see ball, get ball, they'll just charge in. I'm not, for example, Jack Viney. Now, Jack Vonnie, Steve will get booked. Jack Vonnie's a really good player, mate.
Yep.
I would not tag Jack Vonnie. I wouldn't use him for tag. I'd say, young fella, you hunt. Right? You hunt. But you got Nathan Jones also hunting a little bit, so they might be looking at different roles. But I'll just let him hunt. Bang. Yeah, but Swanee. Yeah, Swanee was really good.
Good to see Swanee back. D-Swan, three votes is what you'll see in round 19 for Collingwood and Carlton. Carlton were plucky too to that point. Got to within a couple of snags.
Yeah, they were. Enough. Yeah, they were. It wasn't, no, it wasn't a classic. It won't be on Tuesday night football in 12 years.
No, it probably won't.
You know what they should do just to shut everyone up?
What's that?
Have, in from starting now,
all the crap games on
television. Worst game of the round and play it on a horrible night like a Tuesday at 11 at night. The worst game of the round, so we can stop our whinging.
Christian's in Frankston, Robbo, and he wants to have a chat to you on 9429 1116. G'day, Christian.
Hey, guys, how are you?
We're well, buddy.
Hi, Christian.
Yeah, looking at the footy, as you were saying before about Dustin Martin and Bruce with the Don't Argue.
Yep.
The kids these days, that's the first thing they do now is whack the ball under the arm. As soon as they pick it up and they're in a bit of a pack, whack the ball under the arm and straight out for the Don't Argue. And my son's actually picked it up really well, and he very rarely gets tackled now. And they've actually been practicing it at training. So there's another skill for you. The Don't Argue is going to be big amongst all the kids coming through now.
How old is he?
Under 11.
He'll start doing it to you soon. Really wants to get out about 16.
I can't get anywhere near him anyway.
Yeah, that's good. Goodbye. Skill set. We'd like to add to the skill set of AFL footballers or young footballers.
Yep.
Good on him. Take that on. And you can reward him, too, with a $50 dining voucher to Vito Stone Bar and Grill, too. And Melton, fabulous steaks, mouth-watering, slow-cooked beef ribs, called 1-3000 Stone. Plus, you get the Cocoa Hydrate, the Pataki Hams as well. Christian's down the line. Paul's on the Gold Coast. Robbo, g'day, Paul.
G'day, half and Robbo. How are you?
G'day, Paul.
I just want to talk about some of the... Robbo, you talked before about how the media had got some things that they didn't fully understand, and I think it was Richo and Darth on Channel 7 on Sunday night. We talked about Hawthorn singing the horses at the end of the game.
The Hawks sing the horses by Darryl Braithwaite after Stirring Away Winds. It was introduced by Brent Guerra.
Do they really?
Yeah, so they burst into...
That's the way it's going to
so
be.
They burst into
hilarious.
That. And Darth and Lingy, as you were saying, Christian.
Paul.
Paul. You there, Paul?
You still with us?
Yep, still with you.
Yep.
Yeah, keep going. I'll just have to fill Daniel in.
So it triggered a memory. There's a great book called Playing to Win by Michael Gordon, which kind of talks about Hawthorn between 2008 and winning the premiership in 2013.
Yep, know of that book.
Yeah, it's a great book. And it goes through and talks about them playing the horses, and it started, it says, with Clinton Young in 2012 after they beat the Swans. I think it was the last game of the round. They beat them they were down by 38 points at the third quarter and came back and got them. And then it goes through and it says that Stratton played it after the West Coast game away in 2013, and then they played it again at the end of the grand final when they beat Freo. So just triggered a memory that it's you know, a long-going tradition. I think it's a really good sign of a good team where they've got those traditions that they carry through.
I wasn't aware of the horses.
Yeah, I'm a
influence.
Simple character. I think it's fantastic when a group of people stand around and sing, be it at a party or be it at...
A pool table,
be it at in the footy change rooms.
Good on
it's just a real good feeling, Daniel.
Who would have thought, eh? Horses. Who would have thought Darryl's working to carry on for so long?
Even the young folk love it now.
It's a good tune. It's a good tune. Thank you, Paul. Sharks in Berwick. Well, g'day, Shark.
Hey, how you going, guys?
Good.
Yeah, look, North Melbourne support. I went to the game yesterday, but just sat there and I was in awe of Jesse Hogan. Amazing player.
Yeah, well, I think there's plenty of defenders sometimes get in awe of Jesse Hogan too. They can't
were you
stop
worried?
Him.
Were you worried, Shark?
Very, very, yeah. I thought he was going to steal the game at one point there. Yeah.
Well, every time the ball went near him at a period, he was just grabbing it.
His
and
job.
You think, God, I know it's his job, but he was just getting it. And you're thinking, God, if you can get it to him 40 times, the odds of him getting it, kicking goal, are greater odds than for your team winning the game. And that's what it felt like.
They got to within a couple of points. the D's?
They challenged. Jeffy Gallop dropped a really bad mark in the second quarter when they had him on the run. Really bad. Went downfield, kicked a goal. Ruzzi would have sent out the runner with a sledgehammer if he had the opportunity, but he didn't. They just couldn't get close enough.
Say more about the Kangas or
the
D's yesterday?
Have you sang this song in company before?
I have been known to belt one out if the opportunity arises. Certain time of the evening, Robbo. The lubrication is...
Why didn't God say it's good to sing and dance during the day at work or just without alcohol?
Oh, I do. I just get frowned upon. Barry comes and clips me and says, just go back to work.
You can imagine that. Just different lifestyle decisions. Right, no singing at night. You have to do all your singing and dancing during the day.
And you can sleep at night.
And no alcohol.
Gee, be well rested. New Collingwood Friday night's a big one for the Swans. And Geelong and Hawthorn, Robbo. Stevie J's too fitty. Age-old rivalry. Age-old, but recent years anyway.
Coming back from Perth.
Coming back from Perth. Very, very interesting, that one.
How'd the Scobbers go?
Scobbers had a win.
15 and zip.
Yep.
You get nervous?
Nope.
Someone told me last week the finals record hasn't been too great in recent times.
Well publicised. We'll be doing something about that, Robbo.
Elephant in the room.
Nice to see you.